In the name of Jesus, who is Lord over every authority. Amen. Pentecost, the Spirit had come. Like a mighty rushing wind, a violent wind that had shaken the room that they were in and shaken their very lives to the foundation. The miracle that day was the birth of a new community. A community that had softened hearts. A community where God's very Spirit lived within the bodies of these people and they were transformed. And remember, they were devoted to the teaching of the apostles, to a common life in which they shared all of their resources so that no one in this new community was in need. Where they were devoted to the breaking of bread, the sharing at the Lord's table, and the fellowship where all of the social, economic, and political divides crumbled in the face of the Lordship of Jesus. And they were devoted to prayer. They were of one heart and mind, we are told. Peter and John, in the wake of this, and the rest of the disciples we heard, made a regular pattern of being in the temple. And on one day, when Peter and John, going up to the temple in order to continue to witness to the people of Jerusalem, Peter and John, on their way into the temple, find a man. A man who we find later in the story has been paralyzed from birth, and he's over 40 years old. And every day, he would get laid at the temple gate. Because of the brokenness of his body, this man had never been inside the temple. He was deemed unclean by the Hebrew people. And so the best he could get was to be right at the gate. And as people would go in to be in the presence of the Lord, to worship and celebrate and pray, this man would just sit on the outside every day begging for money. A little handout here today to get him enough food to eat, hoping that this would just get him along in life. Peter and John heading into the temple. This man, paralyzed, calls out to them, asking for a gift of money. Peter and John stop, look at the man, and say, "Look at us." He looks up, expecting, "Hey, I'm about to get some of the money I'm looking for." And Peter says, "I have no money." For we know from the disciples and their common life that they had pooled everything. And they had followed Jesus' teaching that none of his disciples should have any possessions that were their own. And so Peter honestly says, "I've got nothing. But I do have this. In the name of Jesus, stand up and walk." Peter takes him by the hand, helps him up. And the man leaps to his feet. And he clings, we're told in the text, to Peter and John. He has just been invited into a new world, a new family, a new community, and he clings to it. He clings to Peter and John and follows them into the temple. For the first time, gracing this sacred area as a whole and complete man. And he leaps and runs and walks around the temple everywhere in his joy. He has been reborn as a child of God. The people see this man, a man that they were so used to seeing every day as they would go to the temple to pray, who had been paralyzed from birth, and they see him running and walking around. Their minds are completely blown, and they start gathering around Peter and John and this man who is clinging to them. Again, the text says. Peter stops as the crowd gathers and begins to preach to them. "Why do you marvel? You witnessed Jesus of Nazareth, did you not? He was here in this city, just weeks ago, and you knew the power that this Jesus had to heal the blind, to raise the dead even, to heal the paralyzed. Why do you marvel? And isn't the God that we have always worshipped, the God of Israel, but a God who has done marvelous, wondrous things, the same God that brought you out of slavery in Egypt? Why does this man walking surprise you? Now, this Jesus, by whom this man walks, through the power of radical faith, clinging to this Jesus, this man has been liberated from everything that's been holding him in bondage. He is free. And this Jesus, remember him? You killed him. The Jesus that brings this kind of healing, liberating power into the world, when he was here in your city just weeks ago, remember when you teamed up with Pilate and you killed him? But he is still alive and at work. So repent. You failed miserably weeks ago. See this opportunity as Jesus extending his hand again to you in your failure, in your rejection of God, in your stone-hearted disobedience. See this man as a sign calling you into this same new life. You can be liberated like this man, free from all that is paralyzing you and holding you in bondage. Repent and cling to Jesus. Now the authorities get wind of this speech of Peter's, and they start to gather around and they are furious. Furious that Jesus is being preached as the Messiah, this one that they had killed weeks ago. Furious that the resurrection of the dead in the middle of history is being preached in the standard of this Jesus. So the authorities grab Peter and John and throw them in prison. Lock them up for the night. The next morning, after the authorities have had a chance to get on the same page, they pull Peter and John out of prison and put them on trial. By whose authority are you doing this? Peter responds, Jesus. Remember him? This is the guy you killed just a few weeks ago. He's the Messiah. It is through him that this man stands healed, liberated before you. The authorities say, do not preach in the name of Jesus ever again. Peter says, so you want us to obey you instead of God? I don't think so. The authorities, seeing this healed man that has all of the crowds captivated, realize they can't do anything against Peter and John without the crowds turning on them. So all they do is say, Peter and John, don't you dare preach in the name of Jesus anymore, or we will hurt you. And they send him away. We are, or have been, the paralyzed guy in this story. Have we not? Born into prisons and situations we never chose. Stuck in a life where we had no freedom. No real choice. Bonded, stuck, and paralyzed. And just like this man, we're born into a situation of this bondage, and the world tells us that the one thing we can do is ask and seek for money. It'll save us. And so, like the paralyzed man, we're born into a situation where all we do is go about life, maybe trying to earn it or just asking and begging for it, but we're all looking for just a little bit more money today because maybe I'll be free if I can just get a little bit more money today. But it's absurd for the paralyzed guy. What good is money gonna do him? He can't walk. It's not much of a solution. And for us, in the bondage of the sin and the lives that we are born into, it's the same if we have the eyes to see. Money is the world's solution to all of our problems. You feel stuck? Get more money. You feel paralyzed and helpless and life is out of control? Just get more money. But if we can't walk, what good is money? It's not going to save us one bit. And so I think we've all been born into lives like this paralyzed man, spinning our wheels helplessly, thinking if we can just get a little more money today, all of those problems will somehow go away. But along comes Peter and John and the community of Jesus, speaking the word of Jesus, the word of God into our lives, waking us up from the madness of thinking that a little bit of money is going to save us from our paralysis and our brokenness and the prisons of our lives. And Peter says to us, I don't have any money for you, but I do have this. In the name of Jesus, stand up and walk. Be set free. Liberated, forgiven from all of the things that are holding you in bondage. The prisons of our world, the prisons of your selfishness, the prisons that others have put you in their own hatred and wickedness. Whatever prison you find yourself in, get up and walk. Jesus has set you free. You are no longer a slave. You are a free child of God. Join us. Join the community of Jesus. Together, we live free. In the name of Jesus, his power liberates us and forgives us. And he is the answer to the problems we have. Where are you in your life stuck? Where on your journey of faith this day are you still this paralyzed man? Where are you feeling utterly out of control? Helpless. Imprisoned. And what are you seeking to save you from that lack of control, that brokenness, that prison, that paralysis? The world always tells us, just seek money. If you can get just a little bit more, it'll solve your problem. But it's a dead end. Jesus says to us this day, I don't have money for you. I got something way better. Get up and walk with me. Take my hand. I will pull you out of your prisons. And together we will journey free, leaping, rejoicing, celebrating as we enter into God's presence together. And how are we as Christians, when we've been liberated by the word of Jesus calling us out of our brokenness, what do we offer to the world? As we sit in this neighborhood, in this place, what is it that we offer the people that we encounter? Are we offering them just the world's answers when they're looking for a little bit of money because they think that will set them free? Is that our answer? Or like Peter and John, do we have the courage to say, I don't have money for you, but I have this. An invitation out of the prison, the paralysis, the brokenness, the stuckness of your life into the community of Jesus. Join us as a new family. Here in this place, we hold all things in common and we take care of each other. You will never be in need again. The word of God guides us. Prayer together to him. The breaking of bread and fellowship unites us. Be saved, as Peter said on Pentecost Day, from the corrupt society, the corrupt generation of our world, and join Jesus' community. Is that what we offer people? It's what we should be offering people. Because unlike money, it can actually solve problems. It is actually an answer to our brokenness, our paralysis, the prisons that we find ourselves in. Stand up and walk. Jesus is calling us to new life. Let's take his hand, journey with him, and call others to stand up and walk with him, for he is life. Amen.